This is the Alpaca Podcast for all things alpaca. If you're an owner, a soon-to-be owner, a want-to-be owner, or are just alpaca mad or love the fleece, welcome to the Alpaca Tribe. I'm Steve Hetherington.
Hi, Steve here, and welcome to the podcast for alpaca people. Good to see you again. I've been musing, that kind of slow thinking, where we take our time and cogitate and reflect. It can look like staring into space and doing nothing. Some people misunderstand what's going on. This is musing in action. So it's one of those things that we can do while we're out and spending time with our alpacas. So I've been musing about growth. What is it that makes for good growth? Particularly thinking of grass. That's what I've been looking at and wondering. There's some green areas. A lot of that is actually moss. It's green, but it's not what they eat. You see, if they were reindeer, then that's what they would eat. They would eat moss. But no, these are alpacas. Don't eat moss. Not to speak of, anyway. Accidental, I think, when it happens. So the grass hasn't really grown that much. We had little shifts, little bits here and there. And what you end up with is a thing called a rate-limiting factor. So what are the things that we need for grass to grow? We need some warmth. And that's particularly of the soil. The soil needs to be warm enough. And you're probably looking at something like 6 degrees centigrade. And for the seeds to grow and for that kind of thing, but also for the roots to function, to do the chemistry. It needs to be warm enough. Air temperature is an indicator, but the ground is cold, has been cold, chilled through the winter. And it takes a while for the grass to get going because the ground is too cold. And you know that in the garden when you're growing things, when you're growing plants and the stuff that we plant. The ground needs to be warm enough. Otherwise, nothing's going to happen. It also needs to be damp enough and has to be enough moisture in the soil. And that we've had excess of, but not recently. So there's this balancing factor then. You've got warmth. You need the sun for the photochemistry. So the chlorophyll and the photosynthesis to take place, you need sunlight and that clever chemistry that goes on, all that amazing green stuff. So enough sunlight, which aids the warmth. Of course, if you've got more sun, then you've got more warmth and it starts to warm up the soil, but it takes a while. It's kind of temporary through the day, but then it goes cold overnight. So we've got the air temperature as well as the ground temperature. The air temperature is an indicator, but it's really the soil temperature that's the key factor here. So those are the primary factors, the soil temperature, the moisture level in the soil, and how much light the grass is getting, how much sunlight. It takes time. It takes a while for those things to get into balance and to be enough of the right things. In the meantime, we have a rate limiting factor, something, it's very dry. Okay, so is that the thing that's stopping the grass growing? Is that it hasn't got enough moisture? Or is it been really cloudy and you haven't had enough sun so that the light isn't enough? Or actually you haven't had enough sun to warm the earth. The soil is still too cold for it to grow well. All these things come into play and they also will improve as we go into the spring. But you can't really hurry it. I'd like to, you know, do something. What do I need to do? More watering? This isn't a plant, particularly a pot plant. That you can water. That you can tweak the temperature and all the other bits and pieces. But no, you can't really do that on a larger scale. So it's a seasonal thing. And we're behind this year. I think probably a couple of weeks behind at least. And it'll catch up. But at the moment, the soil, tempting as it seemed to be, that it was going to start growing, hasn't really done very much yet. So the alpacas are doing what they can with what they've got, and they're stripping the trees, and they're going and keeping the grass very short. And the areas they want to be in, they've got a lot of short grass. But really the car park area, which is now the goose yard, then the grass is very short there. They're obviously grazing that down. They do need a range of things. They need to get enough of the fibre and of the protein. So you're looking at probably something like 1.5% of body weight per day they've got to eat. And you're looking at something like 20% fibre, 10 to 12% protein. So we're trying to balance all those things up. That's why we give them the supplements. That's why we give them access to hay and other things that we can make sure they're getting enough of a balanced of range of things. And it's what's in the soil becomes the rate limiting factor of what gets into the grass. So there might be things missing, nutrients missing from the grass, not in the ground. It's not in the soil, which isn't therefore getting into the roots and getting into the foliage of the grass leaf. So we can add things in. We can plant things like clover, which is a nitrogen fixer. It'll take nitrogen out of the air and fix it into the soil. And that makes it available then. That's a key factor, along with other bits and pieces that plants need for growing. And those things need to get into the leaf so that the animals can then eat the leaf of the grass and get access to all those things. Selenium is an interesting one because it's a trace element. It's a mineral which we have in the soil. Particularly in wet soil, it can be sort of locked up where the roots are not collecting it, not absorbing it because the ground is too wet. And then it's there in the soil, but it's not getting into the foliage, into the grass leaf. So the alpacas miss out, which is where your supplements, the mix, the dry feed with its trace elements in there are going to come into play and are going to be helpful. So they all balance up what's in the soil. It's amazing. Most of the time it just gets on and does it itself. But we can add things now and again. It's worth thinking about what's in your soil, maybe doing a soil test. You can get some fairly simple kits which are easy to do at home. You're just mixing a bit of soil with some various reagents and looking for colours. and then you've got an idea what's going on, what level, what balance you've got in your soil. Is there anything that's depleted? Anything that's, like a pH might be tipping one way or the other. It might be more acidic than it needs to be. So those kind of things are things we can check up on. But ultimately, it's one of those things we haven't got too much control over. What's the weather doing, particularly, is out of our control. So growth. And then the animals themselves, they need to take on enough of the range of foods, and then they need to maintain what they've got. And in the cold weather, if it's cold and wet, so the weather again, cold and wet means that they're going to be burning resources just to stay warm, and that doesn't allow them to have any excess to tuck away for later or to do growth spurts. Some of the youngsters in particular, when they're growing, they need a lot of stuff to allow them to grow. They need to get milk from their mum, then they need to have enough of that. And where does that come from? Oh, that's the grass, which is then converted by the mum into the milk which they're taking. So these things are all interconnected, and we can help, but it's just having that awareness really of what's going on and recognizing when the temperature is low, it's not letting the grass grow, but it's also not letting the animals grow and maintain themselves well. They're burning up resources just to stay warm and not being able to maintain their bodies or their body weight sometimes. So it could be an interesting challenge this time of year, particularly in the spring. This is the time when they can almost be more challenged, when the grass isn't appearing. We'd expect the new growth and stuff to be coming through, but it's not quite here yet. So we just keep an eye on body condition, keep an eye on rations. We don't need to reduce them too much too quickly. And obviously the really bad weather, that was the time for giving extra feed, but also now that the weather seems to be improving, don't cut back too quickly. And Yeah, it's more of an art. There's plenty of science in there as well, but getting this right, getting the right balance and stuff is more of an art. So good luck with all of that. And there are places to go. I'll put some links in the episode notes, places to go check out, and some books to be able to give you an idea of the relevant amounts of protein, fibre, etc., etc. So, there you go. Growth. Let's hope that the weather continues. It's going to be nice and warm for a few days here. We're going to have warmer temperatures, which will hopefully warm the soil, which means we can get the grass starting to shift. But we need a longer period, and it needs to shift into that growth time, growth period of the grass, which is our prime feed for the animals. So we're back indoors again now. The alpacas have been hanging around a bit. Earlier in the week, it was because they were hiding from the wind. But today, they were just enjoying being in the sun. Nice. Something else that's on the go. It's going to be a busy weekend for some people who are going to the national show. This is the British Alpaca Society national show. And that's going to be at the Staffordshire County Showground. Now, you might not be able to get there, but you've got no excuse because it's going to be live streamed on YouTube. There are bits in between the activity when it feels a little bit like watching paint dry, but there will be live stream from the show, two show rings, and that could be really interesting for you to see things up close and have the judges talk through why they're making their choices they are about which are the best animals. And so it's worth thinking about. If you can make it to a show, it's always educational and it's great meeting alpaca people. You know what they're like. These alpaca people, they're just really nice to be around. And you get to see some lovely animals too. Probably no touching, but at least you can see them. And then there's other things with the fleece and the produce, the things that people have made with the fibre. And usually there's a good showing of all those various activities. Some of it's very professional. The level is very high. And some of it is more the kind of artsy crafty stuff that you and I could do. But it's lovely to see that spread of things and just what it is that people are doing, the creativity and the things that they're getting on and making with the fibre. So if you can make it to a show, it's definitely worth the investment of the time and effort. And as I say, the live stream will be available. I'm hoping that maybe there's a recording which will remain on YouTube as well, and I shall put that link in the episode notes. You can find it at alpacadrive.com, and the link will be there as soon as I can find it. So, yeah, there you go. So I hope you're doing well, and have a great week. If you can, go spend some time out in the sun and with your alpacas. And take care. And breathe. Bye for now. See you again soon.
This is the Alpaca Tribe, and I'm Steve Hetherington. Have a great day.